You know what this Sunday is? In the calendar, it's World Communion Sunday. It's one of those special events that I really treasure. For years, I've been a participant in it. I've even done had churches. We have joint services together, celebrate it. And the reason and purpose for this is that to bring unity in the body of Christ. Well, you know, the best definition is that there are millions of Christians who celebrate this, and we must remember those who sadly have no idea what it means to acknowledge a spiritual life through Christ in faith, hope, and love this day. As I said, it fosters the unity of the body of Christ, but you just think about this. Now, take time zones into consideration. Christians in Scotland, Christians in Italy, Christians in the Congo, in India, Hong Kong, Papua New Guinea, Tahiti, Hawaii, South America are all celebrating this today. So we're not alone. We are celebrating in cooperation with the body of Christ today. And that's one thing I love about this day. Sitting where you are at this moment, just dwell on the moment of the world, of the church worldwide, about which all doctrinal differences are laid aside, and unity is the watchword. It's probably been about 10 years ago, I was watching the National Spelling Bee on television. Have y'all ever watched it or been to one? They're very interesting. There was this little 9-year-old girl came up, a very cute little girl. And she was sort of the, she wasn't in the lead, but she did after she spelled this word. How many of you all ever heard the word latitudinarian? Can anybody spell it? Latitudinarian. I think there's only probably two or three in this congregation knows I've used that word. Wendy's one of them. And I think that Robin and maybe Tina knows it. But other than that, that is one of my favorite words of all time. And I used it one time about 8 or 10 years ago in a sermon I did up in Kentucky. And I've been dying to use this word ever since then in this church. And I finally got to, when I was writing this sermon, I said, yippee, I get to use latitudinarian today. Well, you're probably sitting there scratching your head. Well, what on earth is latitudinarian? Well, it's an adjective for one thing, so it describes something. But what it really is it allows latitude, especially in religion, are showing no preference or favoritism among the many denominations and forms of worship. Probably the best quote is that if more people were latitudinarian, there would be far less conflict among the religious faiths we have. Now, I used to scratch my head and I kept wondering, I'm very accepting of people, whether they're Methodist or Catholic or Episcopalian, Methodist or whatever. I said, I don't understand it, because is that normal? Because, you know, a lot of people like to find differences. I had a fellow the other day ask me, what's the difference between a Baptist and a Presbyterian? I said, well, there's not really that much. There's a few things, infant baptism and the way we do our, govern our churches. But I said, you can find commonalities. See, I've always believed in finding commonalities among the different faith groups, not differences. Because when you try to find differences, guess what? You may not be able to work together in unity because you're going to pick at it. And I know some people who like to think, well, my church is superior over your church. Is that a good Christian attitude to have? No, it isn't. And you know that as well as I do. And so what happens is that we get running like in a horse race, see who can outbeat the other. And there's no scriptural foundation for it. When I was in another church, I used to be seen walking down the street with a Catholic priest in the morning and an Assembly of God preacher in the afternoon. And I preached in probably every denomination that I know of, including Catholic. I preached a Good Friday Mass in a Catholic church one time, and the Catholics wanted me to become a priest. I didn't, as you can tell, I'm a Presbyterian. But you know, my two favorite churches I ever preached in? One was an African-American congregation. They were shouting back at me. I was in the rafters by the time I was finished. And the other one was a Church of God, Pentecostal church. Now, if you can believe this, and, you know, I hope I never lie to anybody, I preached for an hour and 10 minutes in that church. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to extend it today like that. The pizza grow cold next door, and I think Gertie might get upset with us for that. But it was so, I guess it was the music and the way the worship was. And my sister, who's a devout Catholic, said, you know, sometimes it's good to let your hair down. And it really is. And I, of course, being a minister, I don't get to, well, I've got the Fort Meade church and this church, I don't get to go around and visit too much. So if I get an opportunity to preach in another church, it's always fun to do so. But what I'm saying is, not everybody's that way. And am I saying I'm special? No. But what I'm saying is I've been enriched by appreciating other faith traditions. And that's an important thing. And I think that's the spirit of World Communion Sunday in itself, that you know that we are sharing it with the body of Christ around the world, regardless of continent. It is all. And so, and I'm sure on this Sunday, God is smiling from heaven. As Christians, we are mandated to share God's good news with the rest of the world so they may know our Lord. For most churches and denominations, the scriptural foundation for unity is applied more in theory than in action, unfortunately. Sharing is a comfort word, I call it, but when it comes to matters of faith, sharing is frightening. Now, am I saying to go up cold turkey to somebody and start talking about your faith? No, because they probably think you need a straitjacket. That's not the way to do it. Begin with relationship. Now, when Christ spoke about going into Samaria and other parts of the world, the disciples remained in Jerusalem. They were living there. They had no idea what this was going to lead to. Christ desired for them to start at their home base and then move out into other regions. Well, imagine what this verse could apply for us today, right here. It would say, I want you to be my witnesses in Polk, Orange, Hardy, and Highlands County, then into all Florida. That is what, if the Lord had said it here, that's what he would have done. Christ calls us to be his witnesses wherever we live. A witness is someone who tells the truth about what has happened in their lives. Sometimes sit down and think about your faith. That's something we rarely ever do. We think about everybody else's faith but our own. Then write down how your faith has impacted your lives and the people you know. You know, you may be surprised to discover that your faith is more influential than first imagined. God created a family of people called the church who love and trust him completely. God placed the future as his disciples of the world into our hands. How do we permit God to use and bless us for the completion of this task currently here in our own community? Well, interestingly, God will work things out. And you know, the disciples were even curious enough about, well, when are you going to bring in the kingdom of Israel and all that? You know, what they were saying was, well, when are you coming back? That's what we're concerned about. And Christ told them, that's my business, not yours. But these were pioneer disciples of Christ. We have to remember that. They were already speculating about a lot of things. We mostly fall prey to the myth that people aren't interested in spiritual issues. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Polls and surveys, and I read this just the other day in a magazine, reveal that Americans are more interested in spiritual matters now than they were 10 years ago. That's interesting, isn't it? When we hear the media or whatever saying that people are becoming more unchurched or non-churched, but there's a lot of people really curious and interested about spiritual matters. Grace demands that we move beyond our comfort zones to people of assorted backgrounds, education, languages, and social classes. You know, that's an interesting aspect. We talk about missions and reaching out to different people, but you know, it's not as easy as you think. You know, particularly people of different backgrounds. Most churches, it's interesting, people go to the churches they have commonalities with, and I use that word commonality again. Think about that. Are you comfortable where you are? Most of us would be. But if you go to a church where you don't feel comfortable, you're not probably going to go back, and that's what happens. However, the labors of the church are never done in vain, because God will always bless the fruits of its good works. It's blessed churches all over the United States and across the waters too. So don't forget that. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. A challenge presently is to reach beyond our own front porches now and care about others where we are. You know, or where we're not, in fact. That's an interesting thing, because a lot of times we don't really think of people around us as being in need of some spiritual help. But it's through effective and compassionate actions that we do that. Now, what I'm saying is we must care, because God is concerned about the entire world. This will take us to a new level of spiritual connectedness to God. Joshua 13:1 in the Old Testament is one of my favorite verses, and I've quoted it occasionally in my sermons. But it's a reminder that God constantly is needed in the world we live, and that we as the church must never remain content in the backwaters. The verse says, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Every generation needs to be touched by the gospel. Do you know any farmers who plant seed without plowing it the ground first? No. They plow the ground, sometimes in the fall of the year, in the winter, whatever it is, wherever it is, like that. There needs to be ground plowed. Now, yes, the ground was plowed 3 generations ago. Maybe the ground needs to be plowed up again. Because every generation tends to forget about their faith, and are their forefathers and foremothers' faith. So it needs to be, the old story needs to be retold again and again and again to those. And Joshua is a good example of this, but it remaineth very much land to be possessed. You think Florida's evangelized? Far from it. 50 years ago it was evangelized to a degree, but that was 50 years ago. What about now? Different world we live in. You know, think about this when we partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in a few moments. Should we not pray for those who are absent from the table today? Again, prayer is the most neglected avenue of the church today. It is no wonder that many churches are stagnant both spiritually and numerically. Without this, it's the most vital strategic characteristic, and there's one characteristic, and I'm referring to, and that is prayer. Prayer is the secret to all things. It's the secret to unlock the strength of the Lord, not just upon ourselves, but upon the community that we live in. God calls us to activate our faith. We must remember that. We must constantly remember that. So as we do, we take God with us wherever we go. Have you ever dreaded to do something, to maybe go somewhere, not necessarily confronting somebody, but you've got something you have to do? Well, perhaps it's a debt, or it's something that you need to get settled, but you have that real dread in the throat. You don't know. Ask God to send the Holy Spirit ahead of you. You'll be amazed at what will happen. God will go before you. Don't try to do anything alone or upon your own wits. We do it all the time, don't we? We think we can do it. You ever lose something? Have you ever prayed to God, help me find it? Well, most of us would think, oh, that's childish to do that. But let me tell you, it works. I had that happen yesterday to me. I was looking for a paper. I tell you what it was my checkbook. Couldn't find it. All of a sudden, I remembered. I retraced my steps from Friday and realized I put it in a different drawer than normally do. And there it was when I got there. And I asked God about it, and guess what I did afterwards? I thanked God for helping me. We are in partnership with God, and God is the senior partner. I always get tickled because it came from an old book from the 40s. And there was a movie called God is My Co-Pilot. God's not my co-pilot. He's a senior pilot. We have to rely upon God to take control of our lives. But being individuals, we like to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And what happens? We end up making a bigger mess than what it was all about. So God does call us to activate our faith. And one of those things is also calling upon Him to help us do so. You know, how do we respond to God's call? Well, for an example, God called Abraham to a place he'd never visited before. Out of love for God, Abraham did it. Now, was that an easy trip? No. There were no interstates or rest areas. He had to go a long ways, to 1,000 miles or so, and it was rough country. A lot of bandits along the way. Always reminds me of, I was reading a book recently on the Florida Circuit Rider. It was the story of the Methodists coming into Florida. And those early circuit riders either walked or rode a horse into Florida. Now, can you imagine traveling from Jacksonville to Tampa in, say, around 1830, 1835? You had some rough going. At night, they had to build bonfires, not just to keep the mosquitoes away, but the bear and the panthers and all that. And then further south, you had the Seminoles to deal with. So, you know, it wasn't an easy trip for those early circuit riders, but they got the gospel out, and eventually they went all over the state of Florida. I doubt if they used a horse in the Keys because they didn't have a road down there at that time. But they traveled. And also the Presbyterians. They called Presbyterians saddleback preachers, not circuit riders. So it was an interesting era that time was. But those, at that time it was all men, they certainly followed where God wanted them to go. Sometimes we have to just hand it all, well, sometimes, all the time, just hand it over to God. When there's a difficult task to do, as I said, just pray over it. And God will give you that peace that passeth all understanding. But you know what the most daring prayer may be? God, use me. Let us challenge one another to voice it. Is there enough courage to pray for it? Well, watch what happens. Little becomes much when we pray in God's hands. Remember the holy words of John Wesley. If you believe in the same Lord as I do, here is my right hand of fellowship. The spirit of World Communion Sunday continues to voice these words of Reverend Wesley even now. Let us pray. And we'll do the Lord's Prayer, which I forgot earlier. Our gracious Lord, thank you for this World Communion Sunday. Thank you for establishing through your Son, Jesus Christ, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper for our benefit, because you know we need it as much as possible. Strengthen us and encourage us. Nurture our hearts and minds about all things. Prepare ourselves, O Lord, to know that you are truly in charge of our lives. We ask all this through the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.